Blog Talk Radio.
Hi. Having a little bit of a problem here getting connected. So I'm assuming that this is on the air and everything is going well. This is Dr. Lorraine Goodwin, Carpe Diem. Hope you had a wonderful day. And we'll be talking for the next few minutes. The show is supposed to last about a half an hour. We've got about 25 minutes left. So we'll talk about what's going on. Let's see here. I got all kinds of things open that I don't want back to. Okay, I think I'm back to a good degree. And what I had put up today that I was going to talk about was some of the election issues. One, of course, is Carly Fiorina, who's running as the Republican female, who's supposed to represent the female voters. And, of course, she was head of Hewlett-Packard and so forth, had run for Senate against Barbara Boxer years ago and did not win that. Spent a lot of money on that. So she really wants to be in this political arena because she is using her own cash for these elections. And, you know, she got a lot of hype or a lot of press on her last time when they did the Republican spoke about several things, including killing fetuses for organs, and she described in detail some movies she said she saw where people from Planned Parenthood were cutting up a baby fetus and joking and getting the body parts. And what I want to say is, you know, first of all, Planned Parenthood said that was not a valid statement that she made and that she was taking something from another movie and putting it on Planned Parenthood. I don't know what the truth of that movie situation was, but I can tell you as a physician and person who's gone through medical school, we see everything. We see things that would make your stomach turn, things that stick in your mind that you'll never, ever forget. We see a lot of horrible things. And if you're going to deal with medical issues, you have to see it from a medical point of view because a lot of the things that are done under the name of medicine are, they can be brutal, they can be disgusting and so forth, but they do save lives. And sometimes these things that happen in medicine go on to research. You know, we have a lot of organ transplants. Unheard of, you know, not too many years ago, and certainly as a number of kidney transplants, heart and lung transplants, things were unheard of, and unfortunately, animals and people had to be guinea pigs. I remember when they gave one man, he was a black man, and they gave him the heart of a monkey, and then they had him on some sort of huge machine. I mean, I felt so sorry for this guy, but he was willing to dedicate his life and the pain and poking and prodding that went on all day, every day that he lived since having this transplant for the name of science. And people do this sort of stuff. And life is not a bowl of cherries. And you know, I'm not saying that anything, I'm not speaking at all about this movie that she said she saw because they have denounced it at Planned Parenthood and other places and said that she was making up stuff for the drama of the situation in order to gain attention at debate. But if she wants to be the leader of the free world, she is going to have to deal with a lot of things and she can't be an emotional housewife. They showed pictures recently of ISIS taking prisoners out, tying their hands and feet towards their back, and then putting them on a spit, like roasting a pig, these men are totally alive without anesthesia. They have beards, and then they put these little fires underneath them so that as they rotate them over these fires, oh, and then they douse them with gasoline. As they're rotating over these fires, of course, they're going to feel the heat continually as they get hotter and hotter. And then, of course, the facial hair is going to catch on fire. They won't be able to do anything, you know. I mean, the world is cruel. The world is sick. We have a very sick world right now, you know, with the beheadings and the killings and the, you know, they were burying people alive over there. So, you know, if you don't really have the stomach for a lot of horrible, horrible things that go on in the world, you know, you might be running for the wrong office. President is not a glory job. It's not a place where, like Cuba Passage, where you get a nice office, you come in your high heels and fancy suit, and you prance around, you know, looking fashionable. Not that kind of job. You can play it for that kind of job, but I don't think that's what we really want as president, and I don't think that serves anybody. It certainly doesn't serve the people who are being killed around the world in various ways. And so I was very, very disappointed in her for lying, for trying to dramatize on an issue that's very serious, organ donation, transplantation, research for all this stuff, and the people who are dying because they want an organ transplant. You know, a lot of the people go out of the country to get an organ transplant because they know in other countries people are worthless. So they can go into a country, an American, pay money, and, you know, it's even easier the more money you have, and they'll kill somebody, and they'll give you their heart, they'll give you their kidneys and whatever, and they have stories about people in foreign countries who are selling their organs because the government are charging them so much money they can't afford to keep their house, their kids, their farmland, whatever it is that they need, and they have to sell their organs in order to meet the government demands for more and more money. So this is an extremely sad, tearful, and for some, a joyous topic. Which does not need a person like Fiorina coming in there and trying to give a lot of drama to the issue. There's already enough drama there, and we just do the best we can with what we have. The other thing, of course, Fiorina comes in. You know, she's had a huge makeover since she ran for Senate against Barbara Boxer. And one of the things that I really hold against Fiorina is when they talked about Barbara Boxer as a running mate. I feel you stick to the issues. I don't, you know, whether you're a man, woman, man, whatever, stick to the issues. Well, Donald Trump said something about her face, you know, said, who would vote for that face or something? And boy, she just blew up, you know, like, what do you mean? Well, she just had plastic surgery, so I know she was really upset with somebody saying that they didn't want to. They're saying something negative about her. And she had her hair redone and so forth. But when she was running against Barbara Boxer, she made a very negative comment about Barbara Boxer's face and her hair. And, you know, when you're running for Senate, to talk about somebody's face and hair and you're the other candidate is just, to me, shocking. And she did that, you know. Now, Trump did that to her, but she did that to Boxer. So she's from the exact same cutting that Trump is in that part. And she has shown herself to me over and over again to not be the type of person you would ever want to have as the first female president of the United States. She has, she's lied, she's petty, she doesn't seem to have the fortitude to go out there and really help people. And I think this is all her own ego. This is her prancing around in suits and yelling at I'm president and whatever else she, in her mind, plans to do. But Fiorina, to me, is out. As far as I'm concerned, Fiorina is fired. And it's, and that's it. Now, the next thing they're doing is, of course, Ben Carson with, you know, they asked him, would you want a Muslim to be president? Well, that was the stupidest question in the world. There is no Muslim running. That is just totally hypothetical. I mean, you could make up any name or any qualification and throw it at somebody, you know, for the moment, you know, who knows what they're going to say. Well, he said, no, he didn't want, he would not vote for a Muslim for president, and he didn't think it was in the Constitution to have a Muslim. And he's actually, in many ways, correct. You know, you can run for president. Anyone can run for president. It doesn't, there are very few qualifications. There's no job in the United States you can get with a few qualifications required to come in as it is for president of the United States. Very, very smart. I mean, we don't even require computer skills. You can't even become a receptionist today without a computer, courses and maybe a foreign language. But we don't have any of that stuff for president. Anybody can run, and if you get enough votes, you can be president. But what Ben Carson was saying is, first, we are a Christian-based country. All of our swearing in the court is done on the Bible. So if you don't believe in the Bible, of course you can say anything, because you say it under oath, you say it hoping that you have some fear of heaven and hell and that you won't come in the court lying. Well, we know people come in the court lying every day, and these are people who are supposed to be Christians. So people who are not Christians, who don't believe in God, or who are anti-God and have some other belief, that would, of course, not give them anything, even when they swear into the oath of office, which is done on a Bible. You know, to become president, you have to swear on a Bible. And then all our laws, a lot of our laws and so forth, are based on the Ten Commandments. Now, the Quran, I don't know much about it. I have never read it. And, of course, we in the United States are not required to read it, so we don't know. But I know that Muslims kill people if you damage their book. You know, well, that's just, to me, insane. Any person who comes in and says, you know, you throw my Quran in the trash, or you mistreat my Quran, a book, you know, I'm going to kill you. I have that much hate in my heart, and I dislike you that much that I'm going to kill you for that. So that also does not seem to go with our American way. The next thing that I think of is the difference between between men and women in these strictly Muslim countries, where the women are inferior. And I even know of a person in the United States, Muslim, who started dating a white female and was trying to get rid of his Muslim wife, so he sent her to back home and told her to look after some property or something. That's the excuse he told us here in the United States. Well, she disappeared. And so, of course, those of us who know about him and his situation felt that he probably had some relatives kill her to get rid of her so that he would be free to go carry out his affair in the United States with his wife's girlfriend. And we, of course, we have lots of people who kill women in the United States. We have a lot of people who take them out to sea or take them abroad and kill them. So he's not unusual for that. And we have women who do the same thing. But it's much more accepted in the Muslim culture, in that people do recruit their family members. Boys will recruit their brothers to help them get rid of a wife or and so forth. And, you know, the women having to wear the burqas and the hair totally covered all the time, and many, many other cultural differences. And, of course, the hate for the Jews. In the United States, we have a lot of Jews. A lot of Jews are very instrumental in our economic structure. For good or bad. And, of course, you don't want people coming in making laws against somebody that they have had religious dislikes for centuries, over there fighting for the Holy Land. And I think that's what he was thinking of. He wasn't really saying that he's against Muslims. He was saying that it really is a different way of culture, and it probably would, even for the swearing in, it would be very different. Not impossible. There is no religious, nothing that prevents any religion from becoming president of the United States. But as far as Americans doing stuff that we are used to, that we feel secure in, that has been done over and over again, I think a lot of Americans would feel very insecure in that situation. And economically, I don't know exactly what that would do, but that would certainly have international repercussions. And, of course, our closest country, other than Canada, is Great Britain, and Great Britain is the seat of the Catholic Church, So it does bring up a lot of questions, and I think that's why he answered it. And I don't fault him for saying that, but I think the question was more of a trap. It was trying to catch somebody in a question that's totally irrelevant, especially this time of history. That's not going to be a problem. Donald Trump is still leading in the Republican Party, and I think it was Fiorina tried to downplay him by saying he was an entertainer. Well, she forgets you have lots of entertainers who are in the Senate and other parts of Congress, we've had Ronald Reagan, who was an entertainer. We had Schwarzenegger for governor, who was an entertainer. So just because somebody chose the entertainment business, Donald Trump, as I see him, one of his problems is the fact that he is heavily into the gambling industry, which has a lot of mafia people affiliated with it. It has a lot of other negatives affiliated with it. And I don't know much about Donald Trump and his gambling business or his personal life, but I think having a president who is in the gambling business would be certainly a shock to our American system. I think in general, Donald Trump's not going to go far. He's going to be a novelty act, but I think when we do a full analysis of the pros and cons of Donald Trump, I'm pretty sure Donald Trump, you're fired. Jeb Bush, first of all, we don't need three Bushes, and then Jeb Bush is coming in talking about how great his brother was as president. Well, his brother was the one that got us into all this mess, going over there, wildly killing all the people in Afghanistan and then going on to other countries. And he was doing this all not for America as far as to make us safe from bombs and nuclear weapons. He was doing it all for oil. He and Halliburton, which his vice president was hooked up with, Dick Cheney, they were making out like bandits financially, sacrificing American soldiers to show how little they thought about winning this war. They made the war optional, so you could opt out of it, and only if you really needed money or if you needed the education or some other reason you needed to be in the service, those people would come in, and then the rest of the people were optional. They could go home and continue to make money, continue to go to school, and so forth. George Bush's girl did not. He has two daughters, and they did not volunteer for the military service. The military service is co-ed. They had every opportunity to serve in the military as everyone else, but they didn't want to do it. Even they didn't think that war was worth it. Jeb Bush comes in, and he's trying to touting how great the war is and, you know, giving hints that he's going to, of course, try to improve his brother's legacy. So he's going to come back, and we're going to get back into that very, very expensive war. You remember when we were having, in the midst of that war, all people could talk about was the huge, huge debt because we were pouring money at unbelievable levels into those countries trying to win an unwinnable war because the people weren't with it. And we were getting our soldiers killed because the people we were training to fight would then eventually go fight on our own soldiers. And then, so there was no trust factor there where our soldiers could find a safe harbor. They were being under, they were under, living under stress 24 hours a day, every day. And then they were going back because there weren't enough people. You know, they didn't fund the war properly, and we left a lot of people abandoned, under fire, in places that were unwinnable, where they were like ducks in a shooting gallery. They didn't have enough food. They didn't have enough ammunition. They didn't have any protection. They didn't have the people to protect them. I mean, it was just the most pitiful, if you want to call that a war, that was the most pitiful thing in the world. And Jeb Bush is trying to bolster his family history, and he feels it's his duty to come in and continue that legacy and try to do what he can to make the Bush family name better for history. And then he was caught, you know, when they did the whole, then at the end of the last debate, Trump held out his hand to give a high five to Jeb Bush, and Jeb Bush smacked Trump with a real hit. Now, you know, that shows me Jeb Bush has a temper, that he probably, you know, uses violence in his life. You know, I don't know whether he hits his wife, he has this wife, you know, I don't know whether he's beating her around the house or whether he's hitting the kids or what else he's doing, but that was just so inappropriate. You know, I felt like saying, come on, you little toddlers, settle down. No fighting. This is a debate. Put on your big boy panties and let's have a real adult talk here. Even if you're, you know, you're supposed to, these people are not supposed to come in here and feed your ego. Each person's coming here doing whatever they want to do to help their cause and what they want to do if they do become president. Yeah, you don't really have to worry about Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not in for the long run. And unfortunately, I'm sure that Jeb Bush is not a good candidate. I don't like the way he lies. Oh, what I was going to say is when they did the final picture, Jeb Bush spread his legs out and his arms because he wanted space between himself and the other candidates. He didn't want the other candidates right next to him. He wanted to kind of stand out from the crowd. And then he got on his tiptoes so that he would look taller than the other candidates. Well, he's already taller than the other candidates, I think three, but he wanted to look even taller. So there he is, looking crazy, on his tiptoes, arms, away from his body, legs spread apart so that he can have his face and his tallness and look like look more noticeable when people look at the picture. And then they asked him about this. They said, what are you doing there? You're on your toes. You got your arms spread out. You got your chin up. He said he was looking for his wife. Well, he sees that woman every day. And I know with a long marriage, he wasn't looking. You know, she kind of reminds me of that lady that Arnold Schwarzenegger had sex with. She kind of has that same look. You know, when Arnold Schwarzenegger had his housekeeper. Well, anyway, Jeb, you're a liar. I don't like you. And you are fired. Okay, we'll talk later, and take care. I hope you have a nice night, and bye-bye.